Welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Hope you're enjoying February so far, because we're about to enter Bowser's Fury in 1 week's time. Like, I can't believe it's already been one. We're already this close into the new, already in February right now, and now we have a new game from Nintendo to worry about. So, geez, time's going by so quickly. Woo.
And also here is Tellius Tyler.
Remember last week when we started the episode and I had mentioned how exciting the world was? And you guys were like, oh, you know, it stinks. It's all bad stuff. I was like, yeah, that's a good point, but it's still like exciting. This week for me, it just proved that point. All there was a giant snowstorm up north. That was it. It was a boring week. Not much happened. And, you know, here we are. Our main event is not going to be based on some ridiculous current event with a Nintendo twist. So, yeah, thank you, world, for kind of returning to normal for a few days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ironically, we are doing a little more of a basic show, and we have plenty of news and things to get to. So we got to get right to it. But we're getting all started off with, what have you been playing? Will, why don't you start us off this week?
Well, overall, it has been just a steady progress for the most part. I have been continuing alongside with the story of Yakuza Like a Dragon. And got, again, with everything how it is with the gameplay, and I just recently ended up, I believe, into Chapter 9 right now. But yeah, overall, it's just, again, the story progression of everything. It's, yeah, just, I really do love the Yakuza series. And if you get a chance to, again, continue getting get the Yakuza series wherever you can. I think right now they just announced it just got on the Xbox Game Pass right now for the Yakuza HD collection, Yakuza 3 to 5, last I checked. So again, just buy Yakuza wherever you can. Just buy Yakuza. And of course, naturally, I've been working on continuing on my progression of Ring Fit Adventure. And yeah, I'm really surprised at, like, how much progress ever since I got from last year. Yeah, it's almost just about been a year now since the whole pandemic started now. Can you believe that? And
no. No.
And yeah, just been working out on this thing. Now I could actually, at the most, I could probably go is a full hour of doing Ring Fit, almost to 60 minutes. The point is, like, wow, can't believe I worked that long, from 30 minutes to 60 minutes. So yeah, Ring Fit Adventure definitely will help you out. So yeah, just continuing on my New Year's resolution on there. And of course, naturally, I'm Faye right now. And oh boy, definitely we have some things to talk about. We're going to Fire Emblem Heroes, and of course, we have the 4th year anniversary. But oh man, naturally for me, I'm still trying to pull out Darja. Dang it. And yeah, this upcoming banner right now, this is going to be interesting to see. We're going to the whole Asgard family, to say the least.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, so we'll definitely talk about that down the road. And of course, naturally as well, just today at the time of recording, the Overwatch Chinese New Year event is currently happening right now. And okay, not bad skins. I mean, personally, the one for me I want to get is Orisa, which is the based on the bow. So it's, again, it's Overwatch. It got some new skins to get to. So it's, why not? It's always fun for the time. So overall, there's definitely some progress. Obviously, for me, next week is obviously the big show for Bowser's Fury. And I'm not sure about you guys, but I have actually did all my Nintendo missions, and I actually am planning to get Bowser's Fury next week. So I want to try to get that set Wave 2 pin set if Nintendo doesn't screw up again. So yeah. Here's hoping, but I'm not holding my breath. But I will be getting Bowser's Fury next week. So here's hoping.
Okay. I'll leave that to you. I'm still on the fence on whether to get it or not, so I'll let you be the judge of its extra content and whether it's worthy of our time. So, Telly Styler, how about
yes.
you?
So I have been playing Cyber Shadow. I finished that game, and this is very exciting. I wrote a review for it, which will be up tomorrow. And by the way, did anybody else notice that review for Ikenfeld that I discussed did in fact go live?
Yes, that was exciting.
A lot of exciting things. Anyway, Cyber Shadow is an awesome game. It's a retro action platformer like every other indie game that gets released these days, but this one stands out. Yacht Club published it, and it feels that way. It's very polished, like Shovel Knight. Its controls are super responsive. The graphics are great. The soundtrack is great. And the game is, like, really, really hard. So it took me 7 hours to beat it on my first playthrough, and then I played it again, and it only took me 3 the second time. So it's one of those games that I think if you were really, really good at it, you could probably beat it in an hour and a half. But it would take some practice and a few run-throughs to understand all the enemy patterns and such. What really makes it stand out, though, is the way it kind of whips like Mega Man into Ninja Gaiden, where your character levels up and like learns new abilities as you clear each stage. And like around the halfway point, you learn how to sprint. And when you learn how to sprint, it changes the entire feeling of the game. Before that, like, you got to be patient and pick your spots. But when you learn how to sprint, the enemies are so overwhelming that you have to make these super quick split decisions on which way to dash, who to attack, how you're going to get out of these tight situations. And it becomes this really, it's always difficult, but it becomes difficult in a whole new way that's more of a reaction time and control situation. You have to really have everything mastered. So I really liked the game. I gave it a 4 out of 5 on my review, which I'll have published tomorrow. That my full thoughts will be there. But I highly recommend this for anybody who enjoys an old school platformer. This is one of the best out there. The Messenger is another one that goes for that Ninja Gaiden vibe, and that came out, I think, 2 years ago. And I would say, like, I read a lot of people who were compared the two, and it's pretty easy to do that. They're both Ninja Gaiden homages, but they're so different. I think the Messenger was more of like an exploring game, whereas Cyber Shadow is much more of a traditional platformer. But they're both really good, so that you got two really good options out there if you like the old Ninja Gaiden games. And that was about it. I played some Fire Emblem Heroes, and I might uninstall it because my luck has been garbage. I'm at a 11.5 pity thing on the Seros banner, and I'm just not. I just have to admit defeat. I really wanted Seros, Dimitri, or another copy of Flame, and I just never got it. So that was miserable.
Well, if everything goes to plan in Court to Choose Your Legends, we actually can get a free Seros soon down the line. So
yes, true. That would be nice. I'd be very happy if we got the free Seros. But yeah, that's been about it for me.
All right, for me, I can proudly say that I did beat Puyo Puyo Tetris 2's adventure mode. I figured out what was going on with the difficulty. You're told early in the game that the title will adjust the difficulty accordingly, or it won't. And so I'm like, okay, well, you know, I want the game to be, you know, up to my skill level, I suppose. And by doing that, I apparently turned it to level 9 on Smash Brothers. Whereas when I turned it down, it was like level 5. So I don't know why. I mean, they didn't exactly word this bloody thing correctly. Because it's like, you know, hey, we can either adjust the difficulty accordingly, or, you know, we don't. And so I'm like, okay. It's not like it's like easy, medium, hard. It's just, do you want us to adjust the difficulty or don't you? I'm like, I don't know. So all the struggles I was going through was for naught. So don't get me wrong, I'm still not the best Puyo Puyo Tetris player, but because of how cold it is in my apartment, my finger isn't as accurate because of I'll accidentally do up tilts when I'm trying to do side tilts. But I'm still a great Tetris player, and I was able to beat the game. You know, eventually I didn't get once I adjusted the difficulty, I didn't have to skip a single stage. I think I could have won, but that was on accident because I hit skip stage instead of retry, and. But it was a fun game overall, but they really went hard on the gimmicks. Like, there was swap battles and skill battles, which were kind of fun, but also annoying. There was, like, mini battles and fusion battles and, like, having to break down a sequence of Puyo Puyo or Tetris in, like, seconds flat. And by the end, I was winning, but I was not winning in the points margin. I was just like, I was beating them with like having significantly lower scores, which kind of sounds like a problem, but okay. So I definitely enjoyed the first one better. The story was fine. It was actually rather adorable with all the characters of Puyo Puyo and Tetris coming together. It was nice, but they really got to work on that difficulty thing, because I almost quit playing, if you recall last week's episode, because I'm just like, it shouldn't be this hard. It's Puyo Puyo Tetris. So I'm glad I got through, and now I will. I don't know what I'll do. I'll see. Bravely comes out later this month, right?
So, yeah, Bravely comes out at the end of February.
So I might just hold on until then. We'll see if we get a review copy or whatever. So I'll probably either revisit a game or I've got other things to do. Like writing a fanfic for My Hero Academia. Yeah! So, with names brought to me by my dear co-hosts here, including a guy who's literally named Squid. Okay. Hey, I'm not judging. I asked for names, and that's what I got.
That's right. That's right. It was a great idea. It was an excellently done. Me and Will combined on this.
It was hilariously well-timed, because I have a character that wanted to use an ink cork, and then now we have a guy named the Squid, and he shoots ink. It's perfect. That's cosmic symmetry right there. All right. Oh, yeah, and I've been playing Fae. We're going to be talking about the banners in a bit, but I have, like, over 400 orbs.
Okay.
I'm in no position to spend them, because I don't want this family Valentine's Day arc. I'm not going to waste them on getting Saros, because I know I probably won't get her in time. So I'm just going to keep stockpiling orbs. And then when that new banner hits, I'm going to, like, blow it all to try and get all four.
Right, the Choose of Legends, right, yes.
No, well, Choose of Legends doesn't come to like, later this year.
Oh, wait.
To talk like the next New Heroes banner, whatever comes next. Whatever's after this Valentine's Day banner.
Okay. Yeah, personally, for me, I'm just going to wait for once we get Brave Gatekeeper and everybody else, honestly. Yeah.
We'll get to that. All right, so we honestly had a pretty stacked news week. Between sales numbers, game insights, some surprising Fire Emblem Heroes stuff, and apparently a Sobble that got hacked, because why the heck not? So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. And first up, we have easily the big news of the week, in that the sales numbers for Q3 of 2020, that's October to December 2020, was finally unveiled. And yeah, the Switch is doing good. I don't know why that actually needed to be said, but yeah, it's doing good. So officially, at the end of 2020, the year, the Switch was at 79.87 million units sold in less than 4 years. Because remember, it came out in March 2017, so it won't be 4 years old officially until March 3rd, 2021. So a month from now. So yeah, it's basically sold about 20 million a year. And right now, we're in February, so I'm willing to bet that it sold 13,000 units in January, just a hunch. So yeah, the Switch is basically over 80 million units.
It has surpassed the 3DS in sales.
It has, which was one of the best-selling units of the Nintendo roster. In fact, I looked up, being the diligent writer that I am, I looked up all the sales of all the systems that were on the spreadsheet, and as of right now, there are only a handful of systems that have sold better than the Switch. I want you guys to name them. Here's a hint. There are four.
The Wii sold better.
Yes, 101 million. I didn't know. Stop it. I said Nintendo units.
Oh.
Well, why would I count PlayStation? What do I care about that?
I don't know. You're right. That's fair. Fair criticism. I accept that. The DS, the regular DS.
Yes, that is the highest seller at 154 million. There's two more.
Yeah, there's two more.
N64?
No. That was low seller.
I mean, low enough.
Low on the Nintendo scale.
Yeah.
There got to be handhelds.
Correct.
Let's go with the Game Boy Advance.
Correct. 81 million units. So that'll be passed by, the end of February. If not already passed.
And then why not the regular Game Boy?
You're looking at the article, aren't you?
No, I just am smart. I know Nintendo. Actually watching the Sixers right now. They're losing by 15. There's 5-12 left, so anybody can check that to know that I did not look at the article.
It's nice to drink. Anyway, yeah. But yes, it is the Game Boy at 118 million units.
You see, so, I'm a Nintendo fan. I'm like one of the wearers of Nintendo attire.
All right, anyway, but yes, there are indeed only four, basically three, because we all know it's going to pass 81 million. So the next milestone will be, to reach 100 million and then close in on the Wii, which there's no doubt it's not going to do that. I mean, it's been doing about 20 million a year. So 2021, with all the big games that are coming out, I'd be stunned if it weren't at least close to 100 million by the time 2021 ends. So just incredible. Like, this thing went from it might sell well enough to it's probably going to be a chart topper. So, or relative chart topper, I suppose. So it's just, I'm stunned.
Yeah, I mean, it just considering the turnaround. Did you see the Reggie article where he was discussing this, which was do or die for
Yeah,
Nintendo?
we'll be getting to that later.
So yeah, it's great to see that it's been extremely on the do side.
Yes, I agree, and like this is definitely good news for Nintendo ever since for the whole Wii U situation, which again it was just not great, and now just seeing continue to ride high off the success right now, and just only continuing to ride high. It's again, it's good news, a good rebound from what has happened. So yes, definitely a good change for Nintendo.
Yes, and then for those wondering about the sales of the games, we have some updates on that. For example, the top selling game is still Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, but Animal Crossing New Horizons is slowly gaining. It's at 31.18 million compared to 33.41 million for Mario Kart. So Animal Crossing will get there. Little doubt. Okay, maybe a little doubt, but I still think it's got a chance. Another big thing was Pokemon Sword and Shield officially crossed the 20 million mark, making it the first Pokemon game since Gold and Silver to sell over 20 million copies. So, which is very impressive, especially since Sun and Moon were big sellers, but apparently didn't cross 20 million. So yeah, go you guys. And then let's see what are some of the good highlights. Pikmin 3 Deluxe confirmed million seller at 1.94 million. Tyler's Paper Mario The Origami King crossed 3 million. Mario Kart Live Home Circuit, 1,000,008 sold. I think that's the biggest surprise for me, because we were all like, is this really going to sell? Apparently so. Can we be honest here? I'm pretty sure it's because of the pandemic. I mean, it's just like, what we need something new. Let's get a RC Mario Kart. Why not?
Yeah, it seemed like a really, really cool idea, and I'm glad it sold well. I never got it, but
Yeah, not here.
it was. I think my older brother did get it though, so that's. I haven't actually gotten to ask him how he liked it, but it was a cool idea, so I'm glad
Yeah.
it led to success.
So, but yeah, it's the sales numbers just. They're honestly rather insane, if I can just be honest with you, because I'm looking at, let's see, 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8 games have sold over 13 million. Two of them are over 30. 1, 2, 5, 6 over 20 million sold. And there are going to be other games coming out that I feel could equal that in some measure. So, yeah, go Nintendo. I mean, let's put this into context for you, okay? Super Mario Party sold 13.82 million units. That's more than the Wii U sold in its lifetime.
Yeah, that's
Yeah,
ridiculous.
that's pretty much all you need to know. So, yeah. Ooh, but I'm very curious to see where things will be at the end of Q4, which is what we're in right now. And they'll end at March, obviously. And then welcoming in year 4 of Nintendo Switch in style. So, good times, good times. All right, next up we have a really odd thing that's gonna fu fuel our funnel, thank you, th funnel into our main event. Canceled Nintendo shows. Apparently. Because apparently Nintendo was working on not one but two Nintendo shows for Netflix in Star Fox and Legend of Zelda, one of which was going to be Claymation. And according to a report, they canceled it because it got leaked. I mean, I'm not sure I believe it, but like, I don't know. We've seen some weird things from Nintendo
We've seen
recently.
some very weird things from Nintendo, and I believe it. I totally believe it. I had hoped that under a younger guy in Furukawa that this stuff would go away, but given all the nonsense Nintendo has put fans through in the past couple of the past year, it's not surprising to me at all.
Like, if this is indeed true, then yeah, it's kind of a shame because I would definitely would have loved something of like a Zelda show, aside, yeah, on Netflix, and of course a Claymation Star Fox. I mean, Sure, why not? Bring those the Clay Animation films again with Star Fox. That would have been something. And again, the last thing we had with Star Fox was that legit anime that was made for a while ago for that E3, last I checked, remember? So if this is indeed true, then yeah, it's kind of a shame. But or maybe it's a whole debate situation. I don't know. But if this is indeed true, it is kind of a shame.
Yeah, okay. I looked at the tweet. It was from IGN, which does make it seem like it's legitimate. But they said that Nintendo reportedly scrapped a live action Legend of Zelda series with Netflix after news of the project leaked online, and then the same was with the claymation Star Fox. So, yeah, I don't know.
Like if they have anything, then yeah, I would love to see like what was the story but when going on with this thing if it indeed true, but yeah, it's a shame, it's a shame.
The reason I'm hesitant to believe this is because we already know that there is a animation project going on with Illumination, the team behind the Minions, and that they're making the Mario movie. Now, yeah, it's like we've had like no updates in forever, but you know, it's real. Like they've even talked about it. So I don't
Well,
know.
so I think this. I think we were doing NEP when the Zelda show was rumored. Might have been really early, but I think that Netflix had leaked it out. Not like the fans leaked it out. Like Nintendo has approved all the marketing stuff for the Mario animated movie. Like it's a little bit of a different situation.
No, it's fair. It's just I hate the idea that they, oh, it leaked online, so they're canceling it.
And me too. It's
They
terrible.
things leak online all the time for Nintendo. That's half the point. I mean, look at Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. That leaked and no one believed it, including us.
Yeah, right. And
So
there are definitely some other things that are kept close to the chest, like with Sephiroth, of course. So there's
yeah,
that.
Sephiroth. I mean, like, and things leak about like new Nintendo characters on Smash Brothers, or sorry, new Smash Brothers characters or new Nintendo Directs. I'm pretty sure like certain third party releases on Switch have leaked out before, and oh, they didn't cancel those. So if they really cancel them, I feel that it's because they weren't liking the results, or they really didn't think people would like them, which Nintendo has done in the past, like with Metroid Prime 4. So I don't know. I don't want to jump to conclusions unlike someone else that I know. I don't know. This just came out of nowhere. That's why it's throwing me, is that this came out of nowhere. Like, oh, they're working on a claymation Star Fox. Okay. Like, that's a choice, I suppose. So, well, I don't know. If more comes from this, we'll let you know. All right, so next up, as teased by Tyler, we have Reggie Fils-Aimé, who we miss oh so much. And no, we really do. And he talked about a recent thing. He was actually talking with Jack Trenton and Robbie Bach, who were previous executives for PlayStation and Xbox, so a real meeting of the minds. And he got talking about the Wii U situation and the Switch, and he goes, quote, "You know, Nintendo has done so many innovations in the space. I think what Nintendo did with the Switch after the poor performance of Wii U, I think to me and what I was a part of, that's my lasting memory. People forget when the Wii U launched, their performance over that cycle was so poor. I mean, it was the worst selling platform. I think maybe the Virtual Boy was a bit worse, but Wii U underperformed pretty radically in the marketplace. And when your only business is video games, that next had to be successful, and the Switch continues to be a dynamic platform selling exceptionally well. And the ability for the company to come up with the concept, to bring it to life, to bring it to the marketplace, to have not only great first-party content, but great third-party and independent developer content, that is something I will always be proud of, along with so many other things I was a part of. But the Switch really was a make or break product for the company, and luckily it was a hit." End quote. Reggie, we didn't forget about the Wii U sucking. It's all we talked about for years. I'm just saying, we know. But like, we've heard about the various stories about what happened during the Wii U era, including the late Mr. Iwata slashing his own pay, so that he knew that the employees would get their, their just payments and everything, which again shows what a great human being he was. But like, this is another, perspective on that, where they had to make this work. They had to. Like, there was no other option. They had to make this work, or they were going to be done. And they did. And like we just said, they're at 80 million sold. They're dominating. They're beating out the new consoles that just came out and were supposed to be, super sellers. They're not. So yeah, And I like that Reggie said that this is his legacy, not the memes, not the my body is ready or anything. It's that he was part of the team to help make the Switch revive Nintendo, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yes.
How about a little more from that? How about a little more? Give me a little more.
Okay, so
let's go.
Come
deep.
About
we can that. Do better than that. Come on.
All right. So we want to go and make a eulogy of that. Okay, fine. so yeah, just this entire story, and of course, naturally, Reggie has always been that, alongside of going with Iwata and of course Shigeru Miyamoto. Just again, those major big three figureheads of Nintendo. Just how to continue to make such strides, even. And of course, obviously in post life as well. But yeah, with Reggie, how he showed again everything with his background. Of course, naturally with all the decisions he had to make. And of course, naturally went during the last few months before until his retirement, and then transferring power to Doug Bowser. It's just again, it only shows like the guy knows what he has to do, even if it means like going against the grain. And that's kind of one thing that, again, we always complain that Nintendo always does their own thing, which, for better or for worse, could be, again, their fault. But in the end, sometimes it actually does pay out for them. And Reggie is kind of like one of those prime examples. He did what he had to do for the Switch, and lo and behold, the Switch is successful now.
Dialogue.
Yes. The problem is the Wii U, it just... the idea wasn't fully realized, and with the Switch, it's a great concept that they've maximized. And I agree with you, Todd. I'm glad that Reggie said that is his legacy, because it truly is. I mean, the Nintendo doomed thing was an annoying meme back in the day, but honestly, if the Switch wasn't this hit that it has been, they would have been doomed. So yeah, it's definitely the most important thing that that Reggie was a part of.
Yeah. So moving on to Hideki Kamiya.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. So like last week, a week before that, we had talk about Platinum Games and how they were teasing a lot for 2021. And Hideki, after that, and like news report of like Bayonetta 3 maybe this year and everything, Hideki Kamiya decided, let's just do something different. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to forget about Bayonetta 3, and then when we show something, you'll be also surprised. Hideki, we're not gonna forget. Who says that? Nintendo didn't say, hey, forget about Metroid Prime 4. It'll come when it's ready. He's like, no. Here's what's going on. We need to reset. It'll come. It's just not going to come soon. And we're like, thank you for letting us know. We shall wait patiently. And we are. But no, Hideki's like, just forget. Like, Jedi Mind Trick, you do not know about Bayonetta 3. You do not know about this game that we promised back in 2017.
Yeah. Again, Kamiya just has a way with words if anything goes. And just like, it's... as I kind of said before, like it's all the whole news of Bayonetta 3. Like we have not heard anything in so many years now, and now you say like, just forget it for right now. We'll let you know when it's almost like saying we'll let you know when it's ready. Like just for the time being, just wipe it out of your minds. Just wipe it out of your minds. And it's like, Kamiya, you do know that's just a recipe for disaster. Even though if you're from your troller's nature, it's like. You want us to forget a game that we've been dying for so long? It's like, no, forget it right now. I mean, I'm at the point at my life right now, like, okay, Bayonetta 3 is just becoming that pipe dream of like Beyond Good and Evil 2. And it's just like, we have no idea. I'm like, okay, we'll just put it at the bottom of the tier list of what we're expecting in this year's E3 or next year's E3 or whatever in the future. So now you want us to forget? I'll still be wanting Bayonetta 3, but you want us to forget it? Yeah, highly unlikely. It's just going to be at the back of my mind, just not as forefront.
This is why one of my Nintendo executive orders was we don't announce games until they're a year from release. Like, it was kind of funny to read the quote. It's just a goofy thing. But it is just... how many times are we going to do a prediction show for some sort of the Game Awards or E3 or a Nintendo Direct and mention Bayonetta 3, which is just never, never coming or never being shown? Like, and to me, it means this game is 2 years at least from being released.
Which would mean that by the time it releases, like, let's just say 2023, that'll be like 6 years after it was first announced. Like, what are you guys doing over there?
It's terrible.
It better be worth the time. It better be worth it if it's going to be that long. But then again, just take all the time that you need. So there's that balancing act.
It's weird because Bayonetta 1, I played, and it was very good. It wasn't like a complex game. It was visually excellent, for sure. And I'm not a developer, but it was kind of short. And, like, it's an action game. Like,
hardcore action.
Yeah, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like the type of game that would need that long of a development cycle. Now, I have no idea what I'm talking about there, so I'm probably completely off. But it just feels strange to me.
No, it is strange. I mean, if it was like a Metroid situation where they, like, switched with developers, which obviously wasn't going to happen, but if they did that, then, like, that would be one thing. But they announced it. They did the work on the teaser trailer. Like, that was an all-new teaser trailer for Bayonetta 3, and it was awesome. So that means that something had to go wrong, or they, like, pushed it off to do their various other projects, which, you know, is not impossible, but it is kind of irregular. And, you know, here we are 4 years later, and he's just telling us, hey, just forget about it. No, we're not going to forget about it, Kamiya. Now, my fear, and I think that's kind of a rational fear based on, you know, the previous Bayonetta games, is that I have a feeling that they've been waiting all this time because they haven't figured out a key aspect of the game. And that would be Bayonetta's look. Because, as we all know, her look in 1 and 2 were two completely different. And
1 is so much better.
I know, I kind of like the 2, but, you know, 1 was just as good. But, like, 3, they got to, like, change it. So I have a fear that they've spent, like, the last 4 years going, like, no, that design isn't hot enough, or that design doesn't fit Bayonetta. And, like, they're just going, like, through thousands of concept art pages, and then they're just like, fighting over, like, what one is the best, and they're not going to show it to the fans because, you know, the fans are biased like Will. And
Wait. I think I actually got an idea right now. Let's just make Bayonetta into a 9 foot and 6 feet tall witch now. We'll just put it that.
She's a vampire. I know you're talking about that's a vampire. It's a totally different thing. I was going to say suck it, but, like, that would actually be a little on the nose. So I guess you could say that with her design, maybe they haven't reached their climax. Thank you. Anyway, so Kamiya, just get to it. Tell us it's delayed. Tell us it's coming. Give us something. All right. Let us know which is which. Moving on to a slightly intriguing piece of news from Virtuous Games. I swear I always want to pronounce it like Virtuous, but it's not. It's Virtuous or something like that. This is the company that is behind many of the third-party ports that have come onto the Switch. For example, this is the team that did the BioShock collection and XCOM 2. They did Outer Worlds, which was not that good. They did Dark Souls Remastered, which was good. The Final Fantasy Remasters, L.A. Noire, that's this team, all right? So the managing director of the studio talked with Nintendo Life and noted, quote, 2021 has kicked off with the continued rise of the Nintendo Switch, and it now overtakes the 3DS lifetime sales. There are many reasons for its success, including fantastic first-party games and a clever design that finally crosses the handheld console divide. However, what makes the Switch really stand out is its continued strong third-party support. Investing in the Switch's ecosystem no longer means missing out on the biggest IPs in the world, with franchises like BioShock and XCOM sitting in the same content library as Mario and Zelda. This can be credited to Nintendo's new approach to work with third parties and their desire to make Switch a welcoming home to developers of all shapes and sizes. Here's the key part. We've been able to make good use of Nintendo's toolkits to make games look and run great on the hardware, and are excited about new projects on the horizon for this summer and beyond. There's plenty more to come from the Switch family, end quote. So yeah, they're teasing some potentially big ports coming this year. Do we want to make any guesses? I mean, I want to say Kingdom Hearts. We all know that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, I don't know.
I want a dream.
Yeah. So. NCAA football, now that that's coming back, that could come to Nintendo Switch. That'd be pretty hype.
Oh, man. There's just a lot of games that could probably be remade to the point now for Switch. It's kind of hard to say.
Yeah, I mean, I can't predict either, just because of like the variety of titles these people at Virtuous, or however you say their name, have provided. Because again, from L.A. Noire to XCOM to BioShock and whatever.
I mean, if anything else, maybe Mass Effect. That's my guess.
Well, that is a good one, because for those of you who have not heard, the Mass Effect Legendary Edition is coming, and it will bring in all three titles, three correct and actual Mass Effect titles that weren't buggy as sin, and give updated graphics. They're revitalizing the Mass Effect 1 battle system in better ways, the little nitpicks and fixes that makes these kinds of things fun to play. And BioWare has noted that they would love to bring this to the Switch. Should they, though? This is definitely one where if you're doing a Legendary Edition, it should actually look good on the system it's playing. And as Tyler has noted with previous Nintendo ports like Doom and Outer Worlds, and even The Witcher 3, which had to be dumbed down heavily, I'm not sure I want, though. I would want this on a next-gen platform to see it in all of its, HD 4K glory. I don't want this on the Switch. I'm sorry, I don't. So.
Yeah, the Mortal Kombat experience scarred me.
Oh, yeah. Mortal Kombat. There you go.
Yeah, if it's not going to look decent on Switch, like, there's a threshold, and it's got to hit that threshold. Like, Doom has done a great job on Switch, that's perfect, but it's difficult. Not every game is created equal in that way.
And that's fine. Like, we understood that coming in, and I admire Virtuous, or however you say their name, of like working hard to bring these classic games to the Switch. I was happy to get Saints Row the Third and Fourth on the Switch so that I could play them, because it had been so long, and those games actually work fine on Switch, because that's lower tier graphics. The gameplay doesn't need to be running at 60,000 frames per section or per second in a 4K with Knuckles and all that. So that's fine. But with Mass Effect, I want this to look good. I remember playing this on my computer when it was actually good, and I could actually play good graphic games. And my computer sucks, but I remember it. I remember enjoying every mission, and the last thing I want is to look at a visually displeasing Shepard or Miranda or Ashley or Tali or all the other ladies that I'm supposed to woo or something. I don't know. I mean, is this a space shooter or one of them dating simulators? The world may never know. Did you actually watch the trailer? And did you see how many times they focused on the relationships? Like,
they were not even trying to hide it. It was quite something back in the day. I mean, again, remember, I got trouble for that on the first game back in the day. And today, I'm not sure how it would translate into 2021, but again,
no one won't bat an eye. Not a single person. Like, that was dangerous back then, because it was kind of like realistic graphics, versus the mod from like Grand Theft Auto 3.
Right.
That was nothing versus this, where it's like, that is actually a woman that you could say, like, yeah, she looks real. Fun fact, that was the first game M-rated game I ever got, and I actually had felt so guilty about it, because I made a promise to myself once upon a time that I would never buy an M-rated game. Yeah, that didn't last that long. But
you're of age, you can definitely get an M-rated game.
Your childhood was very different from mine.
No. It was a personal decision based on something that happened to me in my life that I thought that I was one of those people that thought that all M-rated games were evil. All right, it's a long story. I'll tell you guys afterwards. But I wanted Mass Effect because all I heard was that this was a great RPG, and I loved RPGs. So I was like, I went to my parents. I'm like, look, this is an M-rated game. I'll tell you exactly why it's M-rated, but it's an RPG, and I really want to play it. And they go, okay, Todd, we trust you. And I'm like, done. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, and I played a lot of M-rated games after that, obviously. Like Saints Row, and I bought Metal Gear, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And certain other ones. But yeah, I had to break my rule. I have one rule. Anyway, so we'll see where this comes, but I am excited that this company is saying that there's gonna be more big third-party ports coming this year, because that'll help reinforce the lineup that Nintendo is having and potentially having this year. So this could be very, very good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike what is going on with Sonic the Hedgehog.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Some are calling it bad news. Like I said last week, I'm not against this. The new voice cast is not that great. They're not that great. Anyway, you introduce the story. Go ahead.
Thank you. So if you recall, last week, Roger Craig Smith, who has been the voice actor for Sonic for the last 10 years, I believe it was?
Yeah, 10 years. Yeah.
10 years was resigned, let go. I don't know the official diagnosis, but he's no longer the voice of Sonic. And then apparently some of the other voice actors for Sonic characters have been let go or dropped out or whatever. And who was that again?
Amy of Cindy Robinson and Tails of Colleen Shaughnessy.
Okay, so that's two big ones right there. And everyone's already worried about Eggman, you know, being, because apparently like everyone likes Eggman, who knew? And then on top of that, we get the announcement of Sonic Prime, a new Netflix series, animated series, obviously, that's coming. And so now you have to wonder, did they let them go so that they can bring the new voice cast to the new show and maybe like start a new generation? We don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely something to say at least, because again, Colleen Shaughnessy actually voiced the Tails in the Sonic movie with Ben Schwartz. So to see like all these like, again, the voice that you know for these past 10 years, now not going to be in this new generation of 2021. Like, who would get a replace? It's like, yeah, for nostalgic fans like myself or old-timers, OG fans, it's kind of sucky, if anything else. But if it's for the new gens, like for the younger kids, I mean, fine. I mean, I'm not going to be happy, but fine.
Yeah, Colleen O'Shaughnessy was good as Tails, and Amy's voice is, like, fine. She's not in a, she doesn't have a ton of speaking parts. The Roger Craig Smith one is the big one that, like, I just go against people on, because I grew up in the Adventure era.
Yeah,
His voice is too deep to be Sonic. I never liked it, and he's fine. Like, it's not terrible, but his voice is too deep to be Sonic. Sonic is supposed to be a more energetic character, and he doesn't bring enough energy to the role for me. There was an exciting rumor that Ryan Drummond, who did it, his voice, Sonic's voice in Adventure and Adventure 2, reached out to Sega. He confirmed that his agent reached out about maybe coming back. I would love that. You just listen to some lines from Sonic Adventure 2 and then listen to the modern Sonic. I am biased. 100% I am biased. So let me know what you think. But I think there's no doubt that Ryan Drummond is the best Sonic to ever do it. And I hope that he comes back. And I hope it's for the TV show too. I think, like I said last week, I really love Ben Schwartz in the movies, but the Sonic in the movies is so different than the Sonic in the games. And I don't want them to merge those two characters. I love old Sonic's personality. And I hope that they kind of go back to that early 2000s take on the character, because it was the perfect blend of cool, but also like just enough cheese mixed in so it's, you kind of like love it. He's a lovable character, and yet he's cool to kids but funny to adults, and that is the best take on Sonic. So I hope that that's where this is all headed.
Sure, definitely have a personality of a hedgehog with attitude that loves chili dogs.
No one touches the hogs, dogs.
Yeah.
All right. So next up, we have arguably the most important story of the night: the results of Choose Your Legends for Fire Emblem Heroes. Oh, the humanity.
Oh boy.
Because we teased this last week, because they gave us like the mid-season report, and it was very interesting. But dear gosh in heaven, this is happening. The gatekeeper from Fire Emblem Three Houses is the top male selection at 72,000 votes.
Yep, I think it's like the third ranked or the second or third ranked most voted a character in the Choose Your Legends so far.
I'm checking it out now. He was number one overall.
I mean, like, from all the Choose the Legends banners that happened so far.
Oh, okay, that's better. But yeah, so yeah, Gatekeeper was number one. And if you want a clear indicator of how big this gap is, number two was Marth, which I'm honestly surprised he hasn't won yet, or till now. And he was at 46,000. So Gatekeeper got almost 30,000 more than the original Fire Emblem Lord. And the one that Tyler stands.
So, of course.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So, okay. B, huh? Like, I'm surprised that they even put him in there. I think they put him in there as a joke to see the love of Gatekeeper, because he's not a playable character, and I don't know how many of the other non-playable characters are in the Choose Your Legends thing. Like, I honestly don't know, but I can't imagine it's that many.
all the voting candidates were all, pretty much the entire universe of the Fire Emblem lore, from NPCs to even the side character, even the bandits, last I checked as well.
Really? So,
you can vote the bandits. Actually can vote that first bandit you met in Three Houses as one as well, which unfortunately the VA unfortunately sadly passed away. But yeah, you can actually vote for any character in the Fire Emblem lore, including side characters or NPCs.
Yeah, well, this is going to definitely change things, because, again, it's the Gatekeeper.
But is the best NPC ever. Like, he is the best NPC.
The real MVP, as Honest Trailers once said, but like, I did not see that coming. I really didn't. I mean, ooh, you know, let's go Persona 5 on this thing. But... And then Marth was number two, and Crom, Tyler's other stand.
Sorry, Tyler.
Was 35,000. And then Byleth was, male Byleth was fourth. And here's the divide. It goes 72,000, 46,000, 35,000, 12,000. The Gatekeeper had 60,000 more than the main character. Hilarious.
It just kind of goes to show how internet culture can also affect as well, because, like, again, Gatekeeper was memed the heck out of it, and people just, again, everyone's actually writing articles like, yes, you should always talk to Gatekeeper every single mission you ever do, like, greetings, my friends, nothing to report, and just hear his line, just because he's such a good NPC character. Like, he even has much more better lore than probably some of the other main cast of Fire Emblem Three Houses. And again, he's been memed out, people writing articles about it, and just like, everyone's just like, they love this guy, even though you can't play as him. It's like, it's just gonna go so, again, a power of an NPC, who knew?
Yeah,
I love the trolls are hilarious
at times.
Yeah, but this one was great, because like you said, Gatekeeper was in second, and then like, you would have thought that there was like this real push, like, for everybody to go, oh, okay, like, we don't want the joke character to actually win. No, this went the other way. It's like, yes, we want the joke character to win badly. It was very funny.
Yeah. And then on the female side of things is where things get even more interesting, arguably. Number one was Marianne. Which I definitely didn't see coming, because if you recall, like, a couple weeks back, I said, oh, for sure, Tharja's going to win. She got 10th.
Yep.
Yeah, she was below Azura, Henriette. Okay, I'm going to pause here. Really, Fire Emblem folk? Henriette, are you trying to tell us something here? I'm just saying. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm watching you out there. I know who you are, all 5,000 of you who voted for this mother. I wanted to say Mother of Dragons, but that's inaccurate. It's Mother of Lords, I suppose. Anyway, female Robin, Hilda, Corrin, Bernadetta, Byleth, and then number two is Erica. So our three characters we're going to get is Marianne, Erica, and female Byleth. So again, very surprising results. Like, remember, if you recall, last year's was no surprise at all. It was Dimitri, Claude, and Aelgard, and then, you know, Lysithia to round it out. Like, that was no surprise at all outside of maybe Lysithia. And then this one was like, everything's up for grabs, and two Three Houses characters wins, and then Marth, and then Erica. So, okay.
Right.
The power of the fan base.
Erica is the most overrated Fire Emblem character, like,
nope.
By far.
No.
By far. She has no character at all. If you play Sacred Stones, you'll be like, wow, this is a boring character, and yes, that's, you would be correct. She is an extremely boring character, and I wish
way worse.
That she didn't win. Mikaia is extremely interesting.
No, she's not.
Yes, she is.
She is as one note as you can get. She is intolerant. She does not open her mind. Her best form is when she's possessed by Yune. Like, because I don't have to talk to Mikaia. I'm talking to Yune. Who don't want to talk with a goddess or Mikaia? I'm talking to the goddess.
Mikaia has a ridiculously interesting character arc, and she changes a lot.
Lies.
And that's just the facts of the game. Like, she starts out trying to free her, like, this evil country, the country that was the enemy in the game's prequel, and by the end of the game, she recognizes the greatness of Ike, of course, but she becomes a ruler. She reunites with her sister. Like, there's a ton of stuff that she goes through, and she changes her views on the world throughout. Like, having to see, she's put in this ridiculous situation where she has to deal with this blood pact that's forcing her to do something that seems morally wrong, and yet she continues down that path. It's an interesting character, Todd, and it's a rare bad take from you.
Oh, I'm sorry, are you done?
Anyway, yes.
I could summarize Micaiah in one sentence. Just one. And you know exactly which one it is. Ah, yes. General Ike, hero of the people and the father of Soth's children.
Yeah,
she can
that's
burn in the fiery pit.
See, you're an Ike stan who holds a grudge over one funny line from her.
No, A, not funny. That's insulting to both Ike and Soth. Second of all, she was incredibly intolerant because of how her country got the raw end of the stick, even though, and we're not getting into this, we got a lot to talk about, but Micaiah bad, Erica good, end of story. Let's move on. So there might be a Nintendo Direct soon, which is very good for my Nintendo draft status. A recent job listing of Nintendo's asked for a associate video editor, and it specifically outlined that they would be helping edit Nintendo Directs and among other content, like probably like the Nintendo Minute and the Indie World stuff. But so yeah, they are talking about Nintendo Directs again, and so we have to have hope. We have to have hope, and maybe now that Mario is out, or is going to be out in a week, they'll put in another Nintendo Direct to say, hey, here's what's coming up next, because we know about Pokemon Snap, we know about Bravely, and you know, the Monster Hunter games, but what else? What else is coming? This will be the perfect time, and I really want to get this win on my Nintendo draft card. Because I said it has to be by the end of February, which means I have 24 days at the time of this recording to get a bloody Nintendo Direct. So don't let me down, Nintendo! I need this on my draft card! I want to win! So, and finally, easily the weirdest story of the night. A man in Japan was arrested for modding Pokemon Sword and Shield and selling a modified Sobble. Yeah, I know. So apparently the man took, he sold it for 4,400 yen, which is only about $42. But he was selling these modified Pokemon, like with better stats or whatever. And apparently over the course of a year, doing this with various kinds of Pokemon, he made over $10,000.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you're curious why he was arrested for this, in Japan, there is a thing called Japan's Unfair Competition Prevention Act. Mm-hmm. And the guy, his name was Asahi, he broke that for various reasons, obviously, and he even confessed to it. Oh. So that just goes to show, you don't screw around with Pokemon. They will find you.
Yeah, like, I can get for the deal. Again, you gotta hustle in life where you gotta be. And of course, like, selling better Pokemon for that hustle. I mean okay, I'll respect that in a certain sense. But when you are breaking laws and, of course, going against the big cheese of Nintendo and the Pokemon Company, Yeah. I guess that's kind of the reason why, for his confession. At least I guess he did feel kind of guilty for breaking laws and, again, going against the big cheese of Nintendo and Pokemon Company. So
I highly doubt he felt guilty. I bet he just was like, yeah, you know what, I did it, whatever. Because, again, he made 10 grand. What was he feeling guilty about? He made money off of his quote-unquote gift. So, I mean, and it's not like he was selling, you know, nuclear defense codes or something, at least not yet. So I don't know if he felt guilty, but it was like they probably just felt it would be better if he confessed, and so he probably did. So, confessions, gotta catch them all. All right, and now for our main event. Nintendo television shows. Once upon a time, Nintendo had these in a decent amount of supply. There was the all-time classic Mario cartoon featuring Captain Lou Albano, rest in peace. There was the infamous Donkey Kong Country cartoon, which, don't look it up. save your brain. I remember watching this show. I watched one episode and I thought it was good because I was a kid, and then later on I watched the death battle that referenced this crap, and I'm just like, okay, it was definitely not as good as I remember. Anyway, So, and apparently had like a bunch of musical numbers, and I'm just like,
Yes. Yes, yes,
what?
yes.
So, with this news that the claymation Star Fox and the live-action Legend of Zelda series have been allegedly canceled because of leaks or whatever, Nintendo once again is without any, let's say, new means of IP on television and in movies until the Mario movie comes out. We want to change that. So, looking at the vast roster of Nintendo first-party lineups, Will, first-party, we're going to pick three franchises that we feel could absolutely be epic anime series or animation or anime series. So, gentlemen, let's be TV game makers or game TV makers. Ah, whatever, you know it. Play the bloody song. My smoothest entrance ever, by far. Anyway, so in this edition of TV game, whatever makers, like I said, we're each going to pick one, and I'm going to go first to kind of set the tone because I feel there is one franchise that they have absolutely missed the mark on, you know, missed the opportunity on, whatever you want to call it, to make it an animated series and just grow it to an even greater fan base, and that's Metroid. This one is so easy. You have Samus every season going after, you know, various, you know, creatures in the universe, from space pirates to Ridley to the Metroids. You can pull a, you know, Metroid Fusion and introduce new species like X, and that's your season all the time. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a long season. They could pull like a Voltron Legendary Defender or She-Ra and do like 13 episodes a season, and it's just Samus going on a mission, having to, you know, explore the various worlds of a universe and defeat certain evils. And they can reference the games, they can reference the manga, you know, because remember there was a big Samus manga once upon a time, and it was really good, more or less. And it's manga, what are you gonna do? But like, this is so easy. You could do it anime style. Like, I could totally see this in the style of like in the visual style of like Cowboy Bebop or Outlaw Star, you know, space battles, you know, her and her various suit getting the various power-ups, her versus Ridley would be totally dope, especially with the advanced tactics that we've seen like on Attack on Titan and My Hero Academia. You know, it's right there. And then every season is like, you know, she completes the mission. She gets back in her ship, she's flying away, and then it's, you know, a new message saying, "Samus, we have a new mission for you." And she's like, "Yeah, okay." So, and I know some people out there are going to say, "Well, wait a minute. What about Samus's vocal patterns? You know, will she actually talk?" You could do this one of two ways. You could make it that she talks, absolutely. Or you could play it kind of like Samurai Jack and Primal, where she talks very, very little, and you let the world tell the story. Like, for any of you who have not seen Primal from Genndy Trostakovsky, it's on adultswim.com or HBO Max, at least in part. And Samurai Jack is all on HBO Max. And you'll find episodes that are so beautifully rendered and filled with like life-breathing music that they don't need Jack or Spear to talk. It's that good. And I feel that they could totally do the similar thing with Samus. She could have a voice actress, obviously, accepting missions, doing like the, you know, the sound effects for her getting her and all that stuff. And then maybe if they reference Mother Brain, they can do the whole time to go line again if you want. But you can have her talk only a little, let the world carry it, have the other characters carry it, which is also what Samurai Jack does at times, and keep the mythos of Samus as the silent, you know, warrior bounty hunter alive, while also feeding into this larger world where they can all talk and do the exposition. And Samus is like, "Yeah, time to go," and she kicks their butts. It's that easy. And then this will easily fuel the desire for Metroid Prime 4. I know, obviously, this would have to come after the game, depending on how quickly they start those. But this will easily fuel the love of Metroid Prime 4 and say, "Oh yeah, there's this new Metroid game out on Switch. I probably should go get that now." And then, you know, want more Metroid games. And that's why I really think this is, because everyone loves sci-fi. We all love, you know, epic battles between various characters and monsters, which is exactly what Metroid is if you really think about it. They could easily match the style of what would really make this a fun animated series, and they wouldn't have to do much on the voice acting outside of things like Space Pirates. If you want to make Ridley talk like he does in the manga, okay. And like maybe other bounty hunters or Adam and other characters like that. You can do it so simply and yet so beautifully that it would be impossible to miss. And that's why I'm really mad that Nintendo has not allowed this to happen. Because we have had, I honestly, a bunch of attempted live action Metroid, including one that I actually tried to support before Nintendo took it down. There are people who want to make this in live action. And if they won't allow that, at least do animation so that we can get more of Samus Aran. We are not asking for that much, okay?
Yeah, Metroid is a great fit. It definitely, I could see it, especially with the success of The Mandalorian. You could do a
Oh,
Samus
yeah.
kind of version of that. I
That's
think that
great.
would
That's a
be
great. That's a great
pretty
reference,
fun.
Tyler. It's a great
Thank you.
reference.
Thank you. I think that that's a good touchstone. They have something they could look at and kind of base it upon. No, I like that one a lot.
So, are you saying that when it comes, if the Metroid series was to reference The Mandalorian, that they're saying that this is the way?
I would think that that's what they're saying.
The
Yeah.
force is strong with this one. All right. So, since Tyler led us on the way, Tyler, take us your way. What is your franchise that you think would have it be perfect for an animated series?
So my dream animated series would be Kid Icarus. The character of Pit, Dark Pit, Palutena, those three are phenomenal. Kid Icarus Uprising is its story is chaotic, but it is also an absolute joy. It's the dialogue was superbly written in that game. The voice actors and actresses did tremendously well bringing those characters to life, and I think that because that basis is there, Kid Icarus would be a perfect animated cartoon. And I kind of pictured in the Palutena reveal trailer for Smash Bros. Sort of style. I like that art style. There's a lot you could do with Kid Icarus. Obviously, there's Greek lore involved with Hades being a bad guy, and they've made up some other characters. I don't think Viridi is a Greek character. I think that she's a Kid Icarus creation. But there's a lot of different things you could do with that. Medusa, obviously, is a villain in that series that you don't have to create these characters from scratch, so it's pretty easy in that regard. But the most important thing to capture is the irreverent humor that was found in Kid Icarus Uprising. The dialogue in that game was so lively, and it brought the characters to life. It made Pit this. He's a doofus kinda, but he's a lovable doofus at that. And every character, including Palutena, sort of pokes fun at his slowness, but he also is extremely charming and just a character that you can really root for. So I'd love to see more of him in any form. I'm dying for a Kid Icarus sequel, but I think an animated Kid Icarus series is something that should happen.
Yeah, if I recall correctly, didn't they have like two animated shorts after
They
Uprising?
The game on
Yeah,
the
one was
did.
about like Palutena's meal or something.
Cooking,
Yeah,
yes, her
yeah,
cooking
yeah.
meal,
yeah, that also conveniently featured her in a bath because of course it
Oh
did.
yeah, of
Of
course.
course, of course. So, but again, they've done this, and like you said, the Palutena reveal trailer, which we always reference as the birth of the Smash Brothers anime, that'll never happen. But like that is indeed the perfect style. They've already done this technically three times. Why not? And like you said, they've got a deep lore. They got Medusa. They got Viridi and Hades and all the other creatures. What was that? Captain Eggplant or something like that. They can
The
work.
Eggplant Wizard.
Yeah,
The
Eggplant Wizard.
wizard, yeah.
Yeah. They can easily work with that and all the other characters. They created some new characters like that human warrior for Uprising. So they've got the cast. It's just they. And again, it could be a shortened season. It doesn't have to be too long, and they could totally make it work. Absolutely.
Yeah, like even recalling in the game the Uprising itself, like heck, I could easily see Pyron in as an animated form right now, just because of Troy
Yeah.
Baker. Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, what's her face? Phosphora. I love Phosphora. Phosphora, like flirting with Pit and embarrassing him is such a highlight in that chapter is so memorable because their banter is great.
And this would be like one of those shows. I feel like this would be kind of like a Toy Story kind of situation where it's for the kids, but there's references to adult humor.
Sharp,
Yes,
sharp, sharp,
exactly.
sharp,
Yeah.
sharp.
And anyone who doesn't know Toy Story, go look it up. You know what I'm talking about, Lightbear. And
Hey,
yeah,
we always
that.
re We always reference that here on the show. Yeah, I mean, again, I always call you uncultured swine.
Like, what are you looking at, you hockey puck? So, yeah, like, again, that's such an easy pick. I mean, again, that's the sad thing about this episode or this segment is that these are so easy. I mean, we're just I'm honestly, I just thought of the Metroid thing, like, off the top of my head. I'm just going off the cuff and thinking, like, how it would work. I didn't plan this for, like, 20 minutes. If you wanted me to, I could write out a couple seasons very easily, because that's just how my mind works. I'm sure Tyler, you know, with an hour or so in his new writing mode that he's been doing on the site, would be able to come up with, you know, Kid Icarus storyline, at least for the first season. These aren't hard things to do. It's just Nintendo's not doing them. That's why we're trying to bring it to their attention. So with that, Will, please reveal us your Nintendo franchise that you think would be great in animated form.
For me, it's kind of like a recently new franchise that just got its boom and, of course, naturally joined it with Smash Bros. Ultimate. And for me, I'm just going to go with, like, ever since that season patch number 4.0 trailer. Yeah, for me, I'm just going to go with Splatoon, because Splatoon has really been booming ever since its initial release on the Wii U. And, of course, now it has a Nendoroid, has figurines, has a manga, a fully-fledged manga being published right now here in the world right now. It's just like, yeah, why not make an entire show based on Splatoon universe? I mean, sure, there is that whole Inkling language, how you pronounce it, the Squidneys, or the Inkling and the Octoling languages, but it could easily be translated, to say the least. I could almost see it as almost in a sense it is a somewhat of a kid show, but with a deeper, darker undertones with it, so something in that realm of Toy Story in a sense. But yeah, of course, naturally, with the world of Toon, there is just so much lore, and of course, naturally, we're approaching is it the 30th or 40th anniversary now? It feels like we're approaching the anniversary soon. And of course, like, the 1 year anniversary of I think the release of Splatoon 2, last I check, I don't recall, but yeah, we're just heading to that anniversary now, and I want to see things more. Sure, like, we have the manga to get more of the different lore, and of course the different side characters that's also based in, like, the world of Splatoon, of course, with Off the Hook, the Squid Sisters, Kali Marie, Pearl Marina, all these different characters. Sure, but I definitely want to see more. Heck, even
Captain Cuttlefish.
Thank you. Cuttlefish, yes. Yes. And of course, all these different fish puns as well. And of course, the Teddy, when we're doing the salmon runs, there's just so much things we could definitely explore. I mean, I can only imagine, like, what else would it be? Like, of course, naturally, also had that Octoling expansion that just, like, expand a bit more lore to it. Like, should we explore of a new agent? I mean, perhaps that will be in the next game, but of course, I don't know. Agent, let's say, where are we? Agent 5, Agent 7, Agent 8, now go for Agent 9, or even the 10th agent. I don't know. There's just, like, so much possibility. Like, it could easily be sorted as, like, a, I don't know, like, a week show, or even, like, a daily show, like, with the current shows. I was thinking of, like, Miraculous Ladybug, or any of the current kid shows these days, but it's just, like, there's so much things I can see with Splatoon, and of course, like, again, the whole pop culture, whether it be in Japan or in the New York City / and Splatoon 2, just, like, so much things can be explored in this thing. And the idea, like, of course, the Octarians, of course, with DJ Octavio, like, he's just, like, a great villain, to say the least. Again, a villain that just DJ raps you to death, in a sense. Like, come on, you cannot beat these wasabi beats. Like, okay, that could be something. It's just, and of course, like, again, the whole theme of music, it's, I think we can do something, to say the least. So yeah, for me, like, yeah, if they ever continue to, like, expand on their media empire, yeah, again, you got figurines, you got manga, might as well go full all the way and just make an entire animated series of Splatoon. So yeah, for me, I just want Splatoon to be that full-fledged anime. It's just waiting to be right now, to say the least.
Yeah, for me, I think that one would be a definitely more of a kid show, if you will, because they wouldn't be able not just to do the main story, but then they could, like, end the show with Pearl Marina and Marie and
Callie and Marie,
Callie and Marie, like, doing a song, you know, like, they could end every song with a new Splatoon single or something like that, because what something you forgot to mention is they have live action concerts.
Yes,
somehow. So, like, why not infuse it with the music that makes Splatoon so much fun, and you know, get kids singing, and then you could obviously release a musical track that would totally sell out, like High School Musical. And you know, there's so many ways that they could have fun with this, and they could maybe do an episode about, you know, Salmon Run, and you know, all the elite battles and whatever. And that, because of how this one would be a little harder because how the gameplay goes versus the story and all that, but it would be a very easy workaround. And the visuals, especially like with the ink battles, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. That would be so much fun.
Yeah, like heck, even do like their own side story, like of the Squid Sisters, or with Off the Hook, because they themselves also have some deep lore themselves. Even though we have played the main game, they could definitely explore more of like either before or after their formations. So yeah, this shows like so many different storylines they could go off to as well. Heck, I'd be surprised with Judd and Little Judd. Like, I want to hear more about those little cats.
There you go. What do you think, Tyler?
Yeah, I like that one as well. I think it makes a lot of sense. I agree with you too. It feels like it would hit a younger audience. A lot of the new cartoons are very frantic, and I think Splatoon works in that capacity. It is a little like Splatoon is a cool game for sure. So maybe it wouldn't be quite as intense, I guess, or I'm trying to think of a different word, but I guess frantic as I'm kind of envisioning it. But I do think that would be a good one. And I feel like given how big Splatoon is in Japan, I think that might have the best chance of actually happening.
And like, I was kind of thinking in the realms of like the old Sonic cartoons with starring Jaleen White. I mean, I'm not talking underground, like way before like the first Sonic cartoons, because again, let's not forget, like there is some themes of death and like the whole sense of cartoon violence, to say the least. So it definitely involved in that sort. So in the realm of the old Sonic cartoons, I was thinking of.
Yeah, and you're right. Splatoon is just, it's got its own life in Japan. So That would be a perfect place to test it out, see how it reacts, and then maybe bring it over to, you know, Netflix. You know, not like what they're doing now with Pokemon Journeys. So
you're still salty about that?
No, that was just a direct reference. I was like, that one, that would be a show where I feel would be fine with like the binge format. I feel that because of the length of Pokemon franchises and seasons as a whole, that the binge format in like the 13 episodes per three months, it doesn't feel the same. So like, no, I was just doing a direct reference there, because that is where a current Nintendo show is. So, or you know, a Pokemon or Nintendo adjacent, I suppose, because it's a Pokemon company. So, but yeah. Anyway, really quickly, other franchises we feel could get their own animated series. I do feel that Star Fox would be perfect.
Yes.
Because I definitely don't know about claymation. I would prefer an anime style, but especially nowadays. I mean, dear gosh. But you know, that's got plenty of lore between, you know, Star Wolf and Andross and Crystal and her world.
Yeah,
you know,
I wouldn't mind the whole Jim Henderson puppets as well, like they did with that E3 presentation. I would not mind a puppet show, honestly.
I don't know about that.
I would. Dude, the time of puppets is over. All right. The greatest thing that we ever got with puppets was The Muppet Show, which is now on Disney Plus.
Yes,
finally.
Yes, yes.
So, but no, anime style, you know, Star Fox series with modern technology and everything, that would totally kill. Absolutely. What else? What other franchises do we think could work?
I think if you wanted something more like mature, you could do something with the Xenoblade Chronicles series. You could even just retell the story of Xenoblade 1 and turn that into an animated or even live action adaptation.
I mean, it is basically an anime just in game form. I mean, let's be honest here.
Yeah, it's a deep game. Honestly, same goes for 2.
Yeah. Oh, I would go X. I know you didn't play X, but X was. Yeah, and hey, if we actually get that, we could actually get an answer to the ending that they've been teasing us for how gosh dang long.
Yes.
Morons.
Yes.
How dare you cliffhanger us? I will forever hate you. So, but yeah, Xenoblade 1, X, and 2 would be good, and this would be the part where I would say F-Zero, but we already had that. So, you know, it's had its turn.
Yes,
I was going to say F-Zero, but I realized, yeah.
No, they've done that one, and we saw Captain Falcon punch a universe. No, that's not really what happened, but it's what everyone remembers. So, you know, that's had its turn. Donkey Kong's had its turn. We don't need to do that again. Zelda, obviously, you know, that would be a big one.
I got one. This one would be really, really good. What if they did an anime based on Pokemon? Huh?
Huh?
I'm not
fly.
Sure if you're trolling.
It'll never fly. I mean,
Will,
on.
When am I not trolling, Will? I am always trolling.
Yeah. No. Okay. First of all, Tyler, let's be honest here. An RPG game translated to an anime, it would never work.
It would never fly.
It would never fly. Why would people want to watch? Let's just say, oh, I don't know, an 11-year-old kid named Ash. Like, what smart person would watch an anime where every episode is its own adventure or its own gym battle or him going to a various league and trying to win and failing for 20 years before he finally gets his victory like he should have gotten before and only catching a certain amount of Pokemon while one of his companions catches every Pokemon at the drop of a hat like he's playing Pokemon Let's Go? You know, what rational person would watch that? I just don't see it. I just don't see it. No. Next thing you know, you're going to tell me that Nintendo's going to make a Mario live-action movie. You know, who would dare say that?
Where the Goombas are gigantic, like, lizard-looking
things. Yeah, and Bowser's played by the legendary Dennis Hopper. So, no, it would never fly. Here's a good one. Golden Sun. And it's a little niche, but like I think this would be a great way to kind of revitalize the franchise, and that's got a deep story for days. I mean, it's got three games, I believe, to go off of, so they could just do a complete recreation of the games and then use that to fuel the next title should they want to. So.
Yeah, no, I'm in.
All
sure,
right. Sure. All right, so with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
I don't think we did a poll last week.
We did not. So, this one we will, because I really do want to get your opinion. Which of our suggestions for a Nintendo animated series would you most want to see? You can word that however you want, Tyler. We're going to do Metroid, obviously. We're going to do Splatoon. We're going to do your pick of Kid Icarus. And let's throw in Star Fox, since they canceled that one. So, which one of those four franchises do you think would be the best animated series that you would totally watch? So, and of course, let us know what you thought of everything else that we talked about tonight, including the Q3 sales for the Nintendo Switch. Bayonetta 3, are you really going to forget about it? I really doubt it, but let me know anyway. What do you think about the Sonic the O situation? Were you one of the people who voted for Henriette? I mean, Gatekeeper. Just saying. And, yeah, let us know in the comments below. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag!